Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When the President of the United States in our time makes a grand entrance into his capital city, such as by Air Force One and motorcade of limousines, there is division in the city between those who welcome him as their president and those who at first wonder about him but ultimately reject him. If there is such divided reaction in our time over a worldly leader, perhaps we should not at all be surprised that there was such a divided reaction in Jesus' time over a religious leader. As we heard in the Palm Sunday processional gospel about Jesus' entrance into and early time in Jerusalem, while the whole city was stirred up so as to shake in their shoes, the faithful pilgrims were calling out to Jesus for salvation and confessing who he was. This morning we consider that processional gospel under the theme, Calling Out and Confessing. The past few weeks we have heard gospel readings from St. John's divinely inspired gospel account, including last week's gospel reading about the raising of Lazarus, which event in part attracted the large crowds that first Palm Sunday. Today we return to hearing readings from St. Matthew's divinely inspired account, and he, like the other evangelists, reports Jesus' Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem, including the faithful pilgrims calling out to Jesus for salvation. But he alone also reports the immediate reaction of the city to Jesus' entrance and the content of the pilgrims' confession. Now, Bible commentators differ about the nature of both what the pilgrims cried out and what they further confessed in answering the city's question about Jesus' identity. To be sure, the faithful pilgrims' Old Testament cry, Hosanna, can be taken as a cry for salvation. And their confession of Jesus can be taken as their confessing him to be the prophet promised by God through Moses. That is to say, the singular prophet, the Messiah himself. Surely at least some of the people in the crowds that went before Jesus and followed him, antiphonally singing back and forth, knew both that they were sinners, who by nature deserved present and eternal punishment for their sin, and that Jesus was the Messiah, who could save them from the punishment they deserved on account of their sin and sinful natures. To the extent that others of the people in the crowds did not know that they were sinners and that Jesus was the Messiah, those other people were all more in need of his teaching of God's holy law and of Jesus' revealing himself as the Messiah, the very living gospel. You and I may not always recognize our sins of thinking, speaking, and doing the things that we should not, or our sins of not thinking, speaking, and doing the things that we should. You and I may not always recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, and what that means for us. You and I may not always cry out to him for salvation, and you and I may not always confess him to be our Savior. Like those in the crowds that first Palm Sunday, we by nature deserve temporal and eternal punishment for our sin. So God calls and enables us to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust him to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives our sin. God forgives our sin of not always recognizing our need for salvation and of not calling out to him. God forgives our sin of not always recognizing Jesus as the Messiah and confessing him to be our Savior. When we so humbly repent, then God forgives all our sin for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who who humbly entered Jerusalem as our king in order to save us. The God-man Jesus Christ's humility is mentioned in today's processional gospel reading in connection with his riding the donkey or its colt. And the God-man Jesus Christ's humility is also a key theme in the historic epistle reading for Palm Sunday, which emphasizes his humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Today's Passion Sunday Old Testament reading foretells how Jesus would give his back to those who strike and his cheeks to those who pull out the beard, how he would not hide his face from disgrace and spitting. And today's Palm Sunday Gospel reading tells how Jesus, Passion Sunday rather, Gospel reading, tells how Jesus in fact did all of those things and more for you and for me and for the whole world to save us from our sins. The all-powerful Lord had need of a donkey and colt to fulfill the prophecy spoken through Zechariah. Not only the part Matthew paraphrased longer than any of the other evangelists, but also the part about the kings being righteous and having salvation, for which salvation our humble Jesus then went to the cross for us. Now, our humble king gives us the benefits of his death on the cross in his means of grace, his word and sacraments. He who was humbly born of a virgin, humbly rode into Jerusalem, and humbly was crucified on the cross, has long since been exalted in his descent into hell, resurrection from the grave, and ascension into heaven. But he still comes to us in the humble means of his word, read and preached. His word combined with water in holy baptism. His word spoken by the pastor in individual holy absolution. And his word combined with bread that is his body and wine that is his blood in the sacrament of the altar. Especially in connection with that real physical presence of Christ on this altar, we as the Christian community quite early on did sing, "Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In all of these humble ways, our once humble but now exalted King comes to us who could not otherwise come to him. As he enables us, we cry out for salvation, and he answers our cry by giving us salvation, the forgiveness of sins, in all of these ways. And then, by all of these ways, he also brings forth from us the fruits of lips that confess his name. A few verses after today's processional gospel, St. Matthew records both the chief priests and the scribes' indignation that children in the temple were crying out, "Hosanna," and Jesus is replying with a psalm verse about God's preparing praise out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies. Such children are a model and image of true discipleship. This morning here at Pilgrim, two older children, Clay and Emma, she is here. Oh, there she is. I'm sorry. She was hiding behind Rebecca. Sorry. Clay and Emma will praise God with a confession of faith in him, vowing by the grace of God to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from their confession and from the Lutheran Church. Not only these two confirmands, but also all of us who have ever made or will ever make that vow, gently and respectfully give answer to anyone who asks for a reason of the hope that is in us. As the crowds answered the question that the city of Jerusalem asked that day, they made that same good confession. The question and answer format of the Small Catechism prepares us well for our lives crying out and confessing. Some may welcome the President of the United States as their president, and others may reject him as their president. But in the final analysis, if someone lives in this country, he is their president. Their rejection ultimately does not change that fact. to a much greater extent. The same is true with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we heard in the epistle reading, ultimately every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Of course, if people reject Jesus as Lord now, on the last day their bowing and confessing will not do them any good. However, if we cry out to him and confess him now, then on the last day we will be part of the great multitude that no one can number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in our hands, worshiping God in his eternal presence. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.